The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Well, hi. Here we are, sweaty and pissed.
Menopause and more.
Yes, indeed.
I'm Leanne Morgan, comedian and sweaty. And
I'm Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner, and I'm not pissed.
I know you're not.
That's good.
I know. You look beautiful in your red lipstick.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. Good to be back.
Yes. You've been on the road a lot.
I've been on the road. Yes. And I'm going to be back on the road. But let me say thank you for everybody that's been coming to these shows and yeah. selling out these shows
yeah.
and all the girls in cheetah print. I've had them all. It's been a wonderful 2019.
Yeah.
And so it makes me feel bad. Like people say, my husband and I drove from Utah to Phoenix because that's the closest we could see. And I feel like I need to go and give them gas money. It's very touching. Anyway, yeah. thank you to everybody.
Nice.
And there's more dates coming, LeanneMorgan.com.
And here in the new year.
Wow. Yep.
So you have a lot of things coming up in 2020. So
yes, and yeah. but I need to lay on a table.
I need to look in your ears.
You need to look in my ears, and there's all kinds of things you need to look at. I would be calling you every day,
well,
but
goody.
I know you got a lot on you.
Yeah, well, it's fine. You can call anytime. So we're going to talk about when young women have difficulty getting pregnant, what they can do before seeking care from an infertility specialist.
Okay.
Susan, on our Facebook page, Susan did ask, what does someone do about when they're having trouble getting pregnant and they want some options before they go to an infertility specialist? Is there anything that can be done? So there actually are some things. So and one of them we talk about all the time is getting an optimal weight. So if your BMI is over 25, weight loss will help. If your BMI is less than 17, which is pretty thin, gaining some weight will help. So having an optimal weight will help with ovulation.
Yeah, and I've heard that.
Well, and that's part of the whole PCOS thing, the polycystic ovarian syndrome problem, is most women with PCOS are overweight or have obesity, and losing weight will help their ovaries function better in terms of a dominant follicle formation on the ovary so that you can ovulate. That the follicle is a cyst, and it ruptures, and that's what releases an egg. So we want to form a cyst on the ovary, but polycystic ovarian syndrome, we form these teeny tiny little cysts that they look like a string of pearls on an ultrasound, and they just don't ever get big enough to rupture and release an egg. So weight management is a biggie. The other thing you can do is there are some medications that you can use. And these are medications that, you know, if your GYN or your primary care person is comfortable with prescribing them, they certainly can be prescribed by either one of those providers so that you don't have to start with an infertility specialist. But one of the ones we use a lot is Clomid. And Clomid acts on the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus, and the ovary to secrete more LH and FSH. Those are the pituitary hormones that tell us to secrete progesterone and estrogen. So when our hormones are secreted in healthy amounts and in balanced amounts, we form a follicle that releases the egg. So that's what Clomid does, and we usually dose it for 5 days, 50 milligrams a day for 5 days, and we start it on cycle day 3, 4, or 5. And about 80% of people who take Clomid women who take Clomid will ovulate. So it's a pretty good success rate. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of the goal of ovulation. So 80% of those taking Clomid will ovulate. About 30 to 40% will get pregnant. So this is a good place to start with women, for sure.
Yeah.
And again, as long as your primary care or your GYN is comfortable with prescribing it, that can be done at that level versus at an infertility specialist.
When you say comfortable, why would they not be comfortable?
Well, some people, if they don't use Clomid a lot and they don't manage fertility issues, especially primary care, if they don't feel comfortable doing that for people or using that med, they'll say, go to your GYN or go to a fertility.
A GYN
is more likely to have experience in using Clomid.
I thought you meant like there was a side effect or something.
Oh, no, it's just that it's not really in their scope of practice.
Okay. Is there anything that... Are any side effects?
Well, the biggest risks with that med are you can have multiple pregnancies. So you can have about a 6% rate of twins and about a 0.5% rate of triplets. And it can cause ovarian enlargement, which, I mean, that can be a really serious problem because when your ovary gets really big and wonky, it can twist the fallopian tube. And I mean...
Yeah,
it doesn't happen often, but it's definitely a risk of that medication.
Yeah.
So it really fairly low risk. People don't have a lot of side effects. You're only taking it for 5 days out of the cycle, because women release an egg about every 24 to 35 days, and typically they ovulate between like cycle day 14 through 19, cycle day 1 being the first day of your period. So
I'd take a set of twins. I mean, I'd have to have help.
Yeah.
I'd take a set of twins.
Wouldn't that be fun on the road?
I'd be in a big pair of pajamas with my bra on the outside of my clothes, but I'm so thankful that.
Yeah.
I can't do math, but I could get pregnant. I mean, I have always been...
Never had
that
problem.
But you
yeah.
hear of people having yeah. trouble yeah. now. Is that a thing? I mean, are more young girls having trouble?
I don't know that that's increased in frequency. I think, again, some of it is...
The PCOS?
We have a higher rate of obesity in this country, and obesity affects your fertility.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of PCOS, right?
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of that.
And PCOS is a linked to diabetes. So it's a pre-diabetic condition. So optimal diet, weight, exercise, all those things will prevent pre-diabetes and diabetes, and that will help fertility. So just being healthy.
Yeah.
In terms of weight, diet, exercise, it's all... We keep coming back to that, don't we? Over and over and over and over and over again.
I know.
Yikes. Anyway, so we also can do metformin, which is a medication we use for type 2 diabetes. And metformin, we also use quite a bit in PCOS. So unlike Clomid, which really increases the hormones that... send a signal to make more hormones, metformin really helps just by addressing the PCOS. You know, it's not a direct hormonal relationship so much as if you address the pre-diabetic state and the ovulation function happens more efficiently. So metformin's okay. an option. We also use letrozole, which is a medication a lot of our listeners might be familiar with. We use it in breast cancer. We have people take it daily for breast cancer because it's an estrogen blocker. But you can actually use letrozole to induce ovulation in people with PCOS.
Oh.
So again, it's an off-label usage, but again, so the comfort level with different providers is different.
Yeah.
So, but those are a couple options. The other thing that I always look at, you know, if young women are having trouble getting pregnant, is what's going on with their thyroid. Do they have Hashimoto's? That can play a big role in being able to, or not being able to get pregnant. I also look for gluten intolerance. Gluten intolerance and celiac disease can cause infertility.
Mm-hmm. It can?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
do people know that, or just you know it?
Yeah, I'm the only one on the earth who knows this piece of information. No. So, you know, when you think about all those things, it's sort of amazing that you just got pregnant, bing, bing, bing.
I know, because I'm... Well,
supposed to be eating
gluten free,
right?
I'm trying for the most part. Okay. I mean, I'm.
It's hard when you're.
Everything's hard on the road. I hope I don't get hooked on dope. There's comedians out there eating fried mushrooms and drink. You know those menus. And
I know.
You would be proud of me. I am in the back saying, can y'all throw me some lettuce in a bowl? And I'm really trying. I don't eat all that.
Oh, good. Look great.
Thank you. You don't think I look tired? I'm tired.
No.
I've lost some weight, but I know I'm going to do more. I've been doing a video in my room on my phone. Chuck bought me an iPad for Christmas that I can do. I think I'm going to do a digital membership to Jazzercise. And I can do it on my iPad, but I've been walking with Leslie on YouTube in my, you know, I really don't like a hotel gym. I don't know why.
I know.
But I just.
There's something depressing about it. What is that?
I don't know. But and there's, you know, people have been lifting those weights and the flu's going around. So I've been in my room walking to Leslie, and Leslie's pretty fun. She's on YouTube.
Who's Leslie?
It's a woman that has all these videos saying, with Leslie.
She had one name that she must be so famous that I should know her.
She's a pretty big deal in the walking world. Oh. Yeah. So I walk on YouTube. You can put how many minutes. And so, you know, I wear this Fitbit. I try to get in so many steps. So I've been doing that in my hotel room.
Good.
Because I'm too sissy to get out and walk. And, you know, I've been all over the Phoenix, Arizona. You know, I don't know.
Well, you don't know neighborhoods.
I don't. So, but I've been trying to, you know, do something because I'm in a hotel room. And
I know. Have you ever seen that commercial? This is a little off subject, which is unlike me. It's more like you to do that. But, you know, have you seen that commercial with that exercise mirror?
Yes.
Not that you can take that on the road, but.
I saw it on Ellen. That's a nifty.
Yeah, it's very nifty.
You can hang it in your house.
No idea how much it costs, but it's pretty cool.
Thousands, I think.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then you get a membership. But you can pick any kind of extra, you know, all different trainers and exercise. So I think if you're self-motivated and you're at home, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Chuck Morgan would do it. He's self-motivated, like a Peloton bike. Chuck, get on that Peloton bike. I would hang panties from a Peloton bike and use it as something to, you know, dry my clothes.
Yeah.
I'm not self-motivated. I would rather be in a group and fun, and I like to exercise with a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
So that's why I've been walking with Leslie.
That's good.
Yeah.
So this mirror thing is you see the trainer in the mirror and you see yourself.
Yeah, and you can have all your equipment there. And
yeah.
I know. It's nifty.
Well, it's sort of like working with a video, right?
Yeah.
Ish?
But somebody's there to motivate you and all that. It's like the Jetsons. Everything's like the Jetsons. We're going to have a little robot named Rosie. Isn't it crazy? It's crazy. But anyway, I've been trying to do better. What were we talking about? We were talking about people ovulate.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about optimal weight. Yeah. Exercising, eating healthy, and gluten intolerance that can cause infertility.
It can. Gluten intolerance.
Yeah, I have one patient who never even had a period for most of her 20s and tested her for gluten intolerance, and she was positive and she started eating a gluten-free diet. She started having periods every month and now has two children.
Oh, praise God for her.
So sometimes it's a lot simpler than we like to make it. You know, but all that being said, if you've tried some of these methods that we've talked about so far and you're not successful, and you, especially if you've been trying something for a year, it's worth at least having a consultation with an infertility specialist at that point. Because again, with Clomid, 80% of women will ovulate on Clomid. So if you're not getting pregnant, some other things need to be looked at. Because sometimes it's just a mechanical problem, like you may have some scarring in your fallopian tube that blocks the traveling of the egg to the uterus. You could have endometriosis, which can cause a lot of scarring and again, impeding the movement of the egg from the ovary to the uterus. So some people have what we call a bicornate uterus, where they have actually like two uterus compartments together. So it's sort of like a wall in the middle of the uterus.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's some physical things that can happen, that people can have, that make it difficult to get pregnant.
Well, I had my little daddy's daddy had two sisters that never had children. Hmm. And they would say, they've got a tilted uterus. Lila and Margaret, they've got a tilted uterus. And so my sister would say, I bet I've got a tilted uterus. And I would be like, why do you think you've got it? But is that such a thing? Well, yeah. A tilted uterus?
A tilted uterus, usually people are referring to what we call a retroverted uterus. And an antiverted uterus is most people have a uterus who has an antiverted position, meaning the top of the uterus is forward. Or you could have the uterus going straight up into the body, or you can have the uterus tilting back toward your tailbone. So that's what we call a tilted uterus, is a retroverted uterus that tilts back. And that's a normal variant. And it shouldn't impact your ability to get pregnant. The biggest impact that has is labor. A lot of people feel that really low back pain in their labor when they've got a retroverted uterus. So that's actually a normal variant. But a bicornate uterus, where you basically have two compartments in your uterus, can be problematic in terms of getting pregnant.
Do you know what your uterus is?
I think I'm antiverted. Yeah.
You've got Precious Forest.
I know. Had him in record time. Yep.
He's a Joey.
He is.
Okay. So is there, I don't know what I was going to ask. Oh, is there, what I was going to ask you was endometriosis.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when I'm 54, so mm-hmm. I remember that being a buzzword. Like when I was younger, that it mm-hmm. was like everybody was all of a sudden talking about endometriosis. Have they made progress with dealing with endometriosis?
Well, you know, we have some medicines that help with severe endometriosis that basically throw you into menopause. So it's a little rough. But sometimes that may be the only option, something like Lupron. For mild endometriosis, getting your hormones balanced in terms of progesterone and estrogen can help with mild to maybe even moderate endometriosis. Birth control pills can help with mild to moderate endometriosis. Really severe endometriosis, usually those people end up with a hysterectomy. And there are some women, they have so much organ involvement. And just to tell the audience that endometriosis are endometrial cells, which are the cells that are in the lining of the uterus that, you know, we expel during a period. that get outside of the uterus and they attach to whatever organs, the outside of your uterus, your ovaries, your fallopian tubes, your colon, any of your abdominal organs. So some people have such severe endometriosis that it's attached to so many organs that it impacts how they function. And, you know, I know of one case where it was involved the diaphragm and up into the base of the lung. And so every month when she had a period, her lung collapsed. So that kind of severity. No. And that kind of severity, really the only definitive answer is a hysterectomy.
But mild endometriosis.
Moderate. Yeah, hormone balance can help with that. Oral contraceptives or hormonal contraceptives can help with that. Again, avoiding inflammatory foods. I mean, bringing down inflammation can help with that. And,
everybody needs to get off inflammatory foods.
I know. So, yeah, but so for mild to moderate, we can do some things. But and even with moderate endometriosis, you know, one option always is to do exploratory laparoscopic surgery where they go in and ablate the lesions. Mm-hmm. That they just visualize the lesions and ablate them. The problem with endometriosis is you really can't see it on any kind of imaging, ultrasound, CAT scan, MRI. So you really have to go in and do a laparoscopic procedure and just look in there and see what's going on. The only time you can get a hint that that is happening on a image is on an ultrasound. If you have a cyst in the ovary that is filled with blood, it has a certain appearance. It's more opaque on the ultrasound, and it's what we call a chocolate cyst because it's a cyst full of blood. And it's an endometrioma. So it's a sign that there's endometriosis present. So sometimes we'll capture that on an ultrasound. But otherwise, you don't see it. Yep.
You just got to go by symptoms.
Yeah. And they're pretty classic. Like some people, if they have endometrial lesions on the colon or the rectal area, they have a lot of pain with bowel movement. And it typically worsens during the period. So, or abdominal pain that worsens during the period. Because basically, just like you get period symptoms, you get those same kind of symptoms elsewhere. You know, like you have uterine cramping, you will have symptoms with whatever organ it's attached to.
Knock on wood. I mean, I have been just as normal with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all of my life since I was 13 years old, normal periods, normal.
That's good.
I know. It'd be like clockwork every 28 days, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's so good.
I was like clockwork. I know. And it wasn't a heavy period. And
yeah, that's, you're fortunate. You're definitely fortunate.
I miss it. I do. Is that crazy? No. Not a period. I don't miss. I don't know. I just miss that.
You miss being fertile.
Fertile. Because I should have had 10 children. I'm in love with them.
And take them all on the road with you.
Well, I don't know about that. Because, you know, I've done this 20 years. And when I went to my first comedy club, which was in Nashville.
Yeah.
And Brian Dorfman said to me, because I said, I want to be a comedian. And I had 3 babies already. My baby was a year old. And he said, you can't do this, Lynn. You can't travel and raise these children in a comedy club. He said, Roseanne Barr did it. And they're messed up. He goes, she had them in a station wagon in the parking lot. And he was right. I mean, I have had to take a different route.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have raised these children in a... So I did a lot of corporate private things and mm-hmm. all that and whatever I could. But, and looking back on it, I mean, I begged Chuck for a 4th baby and he said, I can't pay for all these kids. And I was worried about the financial part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there was a lot of money going out. And, so He said to me not too long ago, he said, I was wrong. We should have had more children because we're never going to have any money. What difference does it make? You know, by the time you get...
I'm married to you.
Well, my eyebrows being waxed. But by the time you, you know, pay for weddings and college and all that, he goes, so what? You know, we should have had more. But I know, you know, he loves a baby.
Well, wait till you have grandchildren. You'll go, you two will go nuts over that.
Oh, honey, I'm going to be at Dollywood with a bunch of kids, honey. You can go too perfect. If you want to.
Okay,
honey,
I will.
We'll take care of Forrest's baby. Take him to Dollywood season passes. What? And I'm going to get off of Diet Coke so I feel good. And we're going to ride the roads with a bunch of kids.
Let's I know. Do it. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I'm game.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, I think that pretty much covers most of what I think that Facebook
I hope that
listener
helps
was
them.
Asking about. So, I hope
if,
so too.
You know, if you want children, I mean, you know, that would be rough not being able to.
Yeah. So it's always good to start by asking your primary care or your GYN if they can help you with that step before you go on to a specialist.
Okay.
But before we go, I want to thank Forrest Winsell, our producer, and the composer of our theme song, and Stephen Brown for the artwork. And I want to welcome to our studio my dear friends and sister, Ruth and Nancy. So they are here in town to celebrate my birthday.
And they're very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth and Nancy, honey, with the dangly earring on. Both of them. Cute. Yep. Sweaters.
Looking good. I know.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's fun to have them here.
I know.
Yeah.
They're going to celebrate your birthday.
That's right.
Happy birthday,
my darling. Thank you.
You look 19.
I do, don't I?
You do. And especially in your britches. I'll post something. She was in a pair of jeans, flare leg. Darling in her pants. But she's doing body pump and, you know, you really take care of yourself. You do a lot of exercise and you eat right.
For the most part. I have my moments, but...
Not much.
Not much.
You're probably doing 90-10%, right? 90%, 10? 80-20.
Maybe 80-20. Maybe 80-20.
Oh, no, you've got good habits. I'm going to do better.
I'm doing better.
I'm doing better. I know I am, girl. Yeah. I know I am. I'm doing it because I want to feel good. You know, I got a lot going on.
Yeah.
I need to feel good.
Have to have energy.
Yeah.
Well, so we will see everyone you'll hear us next time, but we're going to put the video on, right? We've got this videotaping today, right, Forrest?
There will probably be clips. I don't know if the whole thing will be on. I should have gotten my hair blown out, but yes. But anyway, okay. Well, till next time, my darling.
We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Sweaty and pissed. Sweaty.